races. The magic races, that is, because you're listening to a magic podcast. We might, every once in a while, give you a tip on how to bet on the ponies down at the racetrack, but mostly we're going to give you tips about how to play magic. This is Magic the Amateuring.
At first I was going to be horse hoofs, and then I was just...
No, you were just jamming out.
Awesome beats.
Yeah, you were just jamming out over there. It's pretty good. You know?
My horse tip for the week, always bet on black.
On black horses?
The jockey.
Wait, always bet on black jockeys?
That's right.
Is that because there aren't very many of them?
I don't know.
Just I feel like there aren't.
Probably not. But there's probably not a lot of women jockeys either.
There aren't. Okay, so I actually, when
you
I was a kid.
You were going to be one?
I thought I wanted to be a jockey. I thought I wanted to be a jockey for a long time.
Did anybody say, Megan, your dreams are crushed?
No, I realized all of a sudden in like my junior year of high school, I had managed to stay below 5 feet up until that point in time. And then I shot up to stupid old, you know, 5'5" where I am now.
Oh, how dare you.
Exactly. And that's when I was like, as soon as I passed the 5 foot mark, I was like, well, there goes that dream.
Megan, you could have been riding in the Kentucky Derby wearing a hat, drinking one of those drinks.
I know.
What drink am I thinking of?
Mint julep.
That's it.
Yeah. I used to have a cutout article of the woman who had won the most money in prize purses.
How much was it?
It was, you know, over $1 million.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She was really good.
Listeners, if you have a dream of being a jockey, don't let it die just because you happen to be tall.
Oh.
Cut your legs off. And
get feet reattached. You can probably be fine. Them.
Hey, everybody, I'm Maria, one of your magic amateurs.
That's right. And this is Megan. And we've actually talked way more about horse racing than I thought we would.
And a few podcasts we talked a lot about a horse care podcast.
Oh, that's right. That was like just 2 episodes ago.
What's up? We've got horses on the brain.
I know. We obviously need to take up another hobby.
It's strange.
Because, I mean, that's Freud for you, right?
Well, we started playing Magic about 1.5 years ago, and we just started this podcast to share our Magic journey with all y'alls. And today, we've got a big special journey for you that includes Khans of Tarkir.
What? What's Khans of Tarkir, Maria?
Man, it's the newest set, and it's coming out. It's going to be pre-released this weekend.
By the way, my name's Megan. I don't know if I've said that
you
yet.
You did, in fact.
Oh, then oops. Just a quick reminder, my name is Megan. Let's move on.
Sure. I hope you guys are all getting jacked up for the pre-release. In whatever way you choose, by pumping iron, by shooting some roids, perhaps just by reading spoilers. I hope you're all
maybe
excited.
Maybe you found a man who will have you both clean his car and teach you karate.
What is that reference?
That's what happens in that movie with that guy.
Karate Kid?
Yes, thank you.
I don't know. I just said a movie that had karate in the title.
Oh, no, that was exactly the one I was thinking
I thought
of.
You were going to say, if you found Christ... That's what I thought you were going to say.
If you found Jesus.
You're probably ready for the pre-release.
Yeah, I mean.
We're going to talk a lot about the pre-release and Khans of Tarkir on today's show. We're going to tell you what the worst cars in the set are. It's our set review show.
Yes, congratulations. You've made it to our Khans of Tarkir set review.
You didn't die, you made it.
Nope.
Congratulations. As Megan said, we're going to go through and tell you the absolute worst cards. We're not going to tell you what the best ones are because fuck that shit.
Exactly. There are lots of people out there who will tell you what the best cards are.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to do that.
We're not interested
in
that.
No. We're also going to do the much-awaited cutest card and card that makes Megan freak out the most.
Oh, you guys, Maria can confirm that I actually yelled things
when
I, like, clicked on the close-up of this card art.
It's pretty grody.
I yelled things.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about what clans we're going to choose at the pre-release, and I've also got euphemisms, Khans of Tarkir euphemisms, you guys.
Oh, man, I'm excited. Maria wouldn't let me look at them beforehand.
I know, I'm so ready, because there's a lot of them in this set. This set is dirty as heck, wizards. I know where your minds are. The gutter.
The gutter. Maria, what are we covering for the noobs today?
We're going to talk about Khans of Tarkir mechanics. And we're going to have Judge Rob on our show next week, who's going to give us the lowdown on rules for Tons of...
Tons of Tarkir.
Tons of Tarkir.
We're just going to call it that for the rest of the show, because we believe in the reality that you've created, where the new set is called Tons of Tarkir.
Oh, So next episode, Judge Rob will come on and give us a lowdown on all the rules for this set. But we're going to give you a brief overview so you're not going into that pre-release like a blind dog drinking a milkshake while driving a car.
That's right. Dogs shouldn't drink milkshakes.
No, absolutely
not. I believe that dairy is kind of rough on their stomachs.
Especially not chocolate milkshakes, because dogs don't like chocolate. And also, you do not want all the boys to be brought to the yard when your dog is involved.
Oh, and then your dog is already in the yard.
Yeah.
Anyways, we also have little helpful reminders for each of the tons, which will help you remember their colors and or what their mechanics are.
That's right, because we've got names for these shards. So Wizards in Cons of Tarkir...
Tons of Tarkir.
Tarkir wants to push us to play 3-color decks, possibly more. It could get real cray, everybody, with the fixing. But so we've got wedges of enemy colors, and they've given names to these wedges. Now, in Constructed, some people have chosen to name these colors something already, like Bug, Rug, America, Junk.
That's right. These colors, you were just, in the case of like Bug and Rug, that's just like if you put the abbreviations for black, blue, and green in a row after each other, you get the word bug.
You know what? I just had a brainstorm.
What was it?
And not the card. Okay, what if you made a deck called Snug as a Bug in a Rug, and it played the colors bug and rug, and also there was a card in it that was some kind of bug?
Oh yeah, I'm sure that sounds totally reasonable.
Is there a magic card called Flying Carpet? Because then we could also have a rug in there.
Do you know what? I think that there's at least a card called Magic Carpet, so let me get on that. All right, so what's our first wedge?
Sure. Well, we've got Abzan.
Or Abzan.
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not correcting you. I'm just offering an alternative.
I'm going to say it with my pinky up the refined way.
Abzan.
Abzan.
Yes, this is our first ton.
This is white, black, green.
Yes.
Okay.
And its mechanic is Outlast.
Outlast.
Yeah, Outlast.
It's not a CoverGirl kind of makeup deal.
That's right, although it certainly sounds like it could be. This is a mechanic where a card with Outlast, the cost on each one is different. So there's some where the Outlast cost is 2 and a white. There's some where it's just a single white. But in every case, you have to tap the creature.
Yep.
So for instance, Abzan Battle Priest costs 3 and a white for a 3-2. Meh.
It's fine.
He has Outlast for a single white, though. And he says, white, tap. Put a +1/+1 counter on this creature. Outlast only as a sorcery.
Yeah, so this is a really cool mechanic. I quite like it. You are always going to have to tap your dude and pay something to make Outlast happen.
And you do have to do it on your turn.
Right.
Which, as people have pointed out, it's a little bit of a downside.
It is. It is, in fact. But you're going to keep growing your creatures throughout the game. And from looking at all these spoilers, which you guys can do, follow along at home, these creatures are fat.
Yeah.
I'm going to straight up say it. There's some fat, fat, fatties in this set.
Yeah, man. There sure are. So putting some +1/+1 counters and stuff is probably going to be pretty helpful when you're facing down some big old 4/4s and 4/5s and 6/7s.
And what a crazy decision, too. Like, you have to decide whether to spend your mana and basically show your opponent what your plan is, because you're doing it on your turn.
You're like, what am I doing?
I'm doing this.
I'm doing this. This is it.
Yeah, so Outlast, I think that's pretty cool. Very simple. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Exactly. And good decision making. Right?
Yeah, decision making.
It forces you to make decisions. It's not a complicated mechanic.
Mm-mm.
In terms of like, it just, you know, you're paying some costs and putting a counter on something, but complicated in terms of decision making.
So we're going to also tell you how to remember these clan names, because they're ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have some helpful mnemonics.
That's right. Abzan is like Azkaban.
Yes, from Harry Potter.
Yes, which is the terrible, terrible wizard prison. And its mechanic is Outlast, because in Azkaban, you'll be lucky if you outlast the Dementors.
Perfect. Perfect. Next up, we have Jeskai.
Ooh.
Jeskai. This is blue, red, white.
Nice.
And their mechanic
America.
Is Prowess.
Ooh, Prowess. What does that do?
So Prowess is a tricky little bitch.
Oh,
meaning okay. that it relies on tricks to help you out.
Oh, tell me more.
Okay, so prowess reads, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
Oh, snap.
So this is going to reward you for playing sorceries, instants, and planeswalkers, as Ooh. Well as artifacts and enchantments.
Pretty much everything that's not a creature.
That's what the word non-creature spell means. I'm just not realizing that.
I am most excited because I've noticed that there's a couple of, you know, like those like destroy attacking creature or destroy blocking creature in the Jeskai colors.
Oh, it's sweet.
So it's like, oh, I'm going to get some bonuses. I'm going to kill some things. Bonus up.
Yeah, so a prowess can work pre-combat just to give you a little boost if you're playing an enchantment or something. And it can work during combat if you want to boost your dudes.
Oh, snap.
Which is also what a bra does.
Boost your dudes. Yeah. Oh, man. Have you tried that new bra line, Prowess?
If there was a bra line called Prowess, I would not be surprised.
I really would not be. But you can only buy their bras in 3 colors. It's super annoying.
It sounds like they should be a tiger striped or something.
So, Maria, how on earth am I going to remember what colors Jeskai is?
Okay, super easy. So, Jeskai, it's the colors white, blue, and red, just like America, like the American flag.
Oh.
And so the way to remember is because the name is Jeskai, and a lot of people in America are named Jeskai. Easy as that.
That's right. No one else in the world is named Jess. Jess is an American name.
Okay. Jeskai.
You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome.
Next up.
Ooh.
Sultai. Blue, nice. Green, black.
Oh.
The weird snake people.
They are super weird. Naga? They're Naga.
Oh, okay. Naga. Sure.
Yeah.
Naga is
weird snake person.
It's a word for no in Welsh, everybody. Got my one Welsh listener who will back me up on that.
So all of these people, they're no people.
Yeah.
No.
No. So Sultai has the mechanic Delve.
Ooh.
Delve.
Mm-hmm. Delve allows you to exile cards from... We talked about this last week, actually, when we were going through our alphabet of mechanics.
Yes.
It allows you to exile cards from your graveyard in order to reduce the colorless mana cost, or it helps pay for the colorless mana cost of a card.
That's pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet. It makes some expensive things a little bit cheaper.
The thing is, you probably aren't going to get that much Delve use out of one limited game, right?
Yeah. Oh, wait.
What?
Except Sultai helps put things in your graveyard.
What?
There's, you know, you've got some cards up in Sultai that's going to help you put things in your graveyard so you have stuff to delve.
Sweet.
Yeah, man. Pretty darn sweet.
Yeah, so Sultai is going to make things cheaper for you. You've got stuff in your yard. But keep in mind, to save your yard money, if you've got some big spells you want to cast, like Treasure Cruise.
God, you guys, the money tree in my yard just has not been leaving me any yard money lately. I just keep waiting for the money to drop off the tree so I have some yard money, but it's not happening. It's such a bummer.
Megan, are you familiar with the card Treasure Cruise?
I am familiar with the card Treasure Cruise.
So some people are excited by this card. It costs, what, freaking 8?
Yeah, man.
To draw 3.
7 and a blue, draw 3.
But it has Delve on it, so
yeah.
This could potentially be an Ancestral Recall if you're able to delve away 7 of your dudes.
Aw, oh, sick.
That would be pretty sweet. And I mean, that is not unheard of. Like,
yeah, you sure could. There's a lot of stuff that that allows you to put stuff in your yard, like we mentioned.
I'm excited for the first person is to do this, because I bet it'll be on pre-release weekend. Somebody will.
Yeah, someone will.
We'll cast this for one.
Listener, if it's you or you see someone.
Yeah.
Who casts Treasure Cruise for just one mana, let us know.
Tweet at us at MTAcast. We would love to hear.
We want
to
know about it.
And then I want you to take a picture with that person.
Preferably if you can give them bunny ears.
Yeah.
Or in some other way.
Some kind of ears.
You know, like you prank.
Prank picture.
The photo. Yeah, if you can please prank the photo
yep,
for us.
Yeah, I would love
appreciate
that.
Appreciate that. Punk. That's what I was trying to think of. I was like, what's this show with Ashton Kutcher? Prank.
Prank. You know that show on MTV? You know, prank?
Prank.
That's like the British version of
you
punk.
Just, you just got pranked.
Oh, we're about to prank someone. Coming up next on Prank.
I would watch that. I would watch that show if it was British. Because not interested in the American version.
No, the British version would be way better.
It would be way better.
Oh, I put my britches in your biscuits. Prank.
All right. All the Brits that listen to the show, you're on notice. We're waiting for your version of Punk'd called Prank.
How the heck are we going to remember this soul type name?
Oh, man. Well, there's a lot of ways to put cards in your graveyard.
Yeah.
But you have to watch out because you only have a 40-card deck and limited.
Yeah.
Maria, you've had some experiences with milling yourself out.
Yeah, I have.
Remember, with Sultai, don't get salty because you milled yourself to death. You're welcome.
Everybody, getting salty means, I'm sure you know.
Yeah, it's when you're like, oh, you're like a pirate.
When you're a like, salty old mate.
You're like, oh, fuck this.
My parrot picked my peg leg one too many times.
I don't think that would matter. You can't feel it.
Yeah, you can't feel it, but I want
did
that
it
to look nice.
All the way through?
It made it look bad.
Oh,
look,
fine.
My leg's already
because
gone.
You're a pirate. You feel, you know, really self-conscious
about
your
legs. Oh, so I can't take pride in my appearance just because I plunder?
I'm just saying.
Well, racist.
I'm a piratist, thank you.
Next up, we have Mardu.
Oh, Mardu. This is the red, white, black color combination.
That's right.
Mm.
Which is an interesting color combination because right. White and black, mortal enemies.
Yeah, that's right. And also there have not in the history of magic been very many like constructed red, white, black decks
have
been successful. Yeah, like almost none.
That would be awesome.
Red, white, black
one.
Has been a traditionally shitty color combination.
Well, it better not be this time around.
Yeah, well, hopefully with some of these, you know, these really sweet red, white, black gold cards.
That's right. I love them. Surprise, surprise, listeners.
I'm not surprised.
The mechanic Raid is what Mardu hangs on to with its war teeth. What happens is Raid means something different for every card. So it's not going to be one thing every single time. It's just a reminder word that's like, Raid, when Raid happens, you're going to get a bonus when you attacked with a creature this combat.
That's right. So this is it's a spell that you play that if you attacked with a creature this turn, then you get some sort of bonus when you cast it. One of the coolest ones that they previewed pretty early is Mardu Heart Piercer, 3 and a red, for a 2/3. When he enters the battlefield, Raid, if you attacked with a creature this turn, Mardu Heart Piercer deals 2 damage to target creature or player.
But it is always different. For instance, Mardu War Shrieker, Raid, when he enters the battlefield, if you attack with a creature this turn, add red, white, black to your mana pool.
You know, and I was sort of like unsure of how good that one would be.
Yeah.
But I was watching the Community Cup today when they were playing some of this, and there were some people who cast, you know, they would use that Raid trigger on the Mardu War Shrieker to,
awesome.
You know, empty out their hand, play some
for
sweet
sure.
crap.
And everybody, in case you didn't catch it, the Community Cup over at Wizards was broadcast this past weekend, and people were playing sealed Tons of Karkir.
Tons of Karkir. It was
awesome.
Cool.
It was a pre-release.
Oh, man. I have to go see my war dentist next weekend. My war teeth have really been hurting.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And shout out to our podcast brethren who are part of that Community Cup. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, man.
Next year. Hint, hint, listeners. There should be some nominations coming our way. Do you know what I'm saying? There might be something in it for you. Crispy
Maria,
donut.
You say way too dirty things.
Crispy donut. What did I say?
You say really dirty things. Just saying.
What did I say that was dirty
just then? Not then. Just in general.
Oh, Wizards, I'll clean it up for you. Come on, baby.
Right, there you go.
I'll keep it clean for you. You can keep a bar of soap next to my little computer. Wash my mouth out with it whenever you want. Anyway, the way to remember Mardu's term, what am I saying?
Yeah.
Keyword, ability,
keyword.
Mechanic, fudge. Okay, so the way to remember it is Mardu is very similar to the word doo-doo, which in English translates to poop. Also very similar to the French word merde, which means shit. So when you're raiding, you're just going full tilt and attacking. And you're probably running over a lot of poop. when you do it.
What? I would. Okay, what if you're just trying to like shit out as many dudes as possible?
That works.
Okay. Mardudu. Perfect.
Mardudu.
Shit out as many dudes as you can and attack with them.
Next up, we have Temur.
I've been saying it Temur because that's the way that sounds the least bad to my ears.
Okay. I'm sure we'll get a pronouncer guide on this at some point.
Pronouncer guide.
I'm talking like a producer. That's what we call it in the biz, Megan.
A pronunciation guide?
We call it pronouncer. Isn't that dumb?
Oh, no.
Yeah, like if you have to say how to pronounce somebody's name before you read it on air, you'd be like, give me a pronouncer for this. That's the words you say. Those are the words you were literally, that would come out of your mouth.
I hurt.
We have a proud tradition of verbing nouns. What are we doing to that word? I don't know. We're doing something
nouning
wrong to that
verbs.
Word. Yeah. That's it. Nouning verbs.
I think Brilliant. In that case, you're nouning an adjective.
Wow.
Because what kind of guide is it? It's a pronunciation guide. Pronunciation is an adjective that's a modifying guide. But you're nouning that adjective.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You're welcome, guys. Grammar lesson.
Their mechanic is ferocious.
Ooh, what does that do?
Ferocious. Like, your pants are ferocious. Like, this made me think of, before the show I told Megan, this made me think of the guy from Project Runway who said everything was fierce.
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 Wait.
What?
I thought that was Andre Leon Talley.
No.
No?
It was not Andre.
No, not Andre. I'm talking about Andre Leon Talley from the documentary September issue about Anna Wintour, the woman who edits Vogue.
Really? She said it or he said it?
I think there's this guy named Andre Leon Talley, and he's like 300 pounds and he wears these like enormous elaborate like giant robe things. I might be making this up.
Listeners, is Megan insane?
No, I'm not making up Andre Leon Talley, but I thought that he made insane. A God, who said fierce first?
I don't know, but I feel like it's a Project Runaway guy.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I don't know. Anyway, ferocious is their mechanic, which means you get something real good if you have a fat, fat, fatty with power 4 or greater.
Oh, that's right. So it's kind of like Raid, where you can cast cards that get bonuses. But in the case of Temur, it gets a bonus if your creature has power 4 or greater. Or if you have a creature.
Yeah, you control a creature with power 4 or greater.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So it gives you a bonus for having some beef out there, which is totally up Green's alley. Green, blue, red in this case is Temur. That's their deal. How the heck are we going to remember Temur? Well, just think of all the lemurs running around the forest, extremely ferocious. Don't trust a lemur. It'll bite your fucking face off.
Is that true?
Yes. And if you don't believe me, get in a monkey cage and try it at the zoo. If the lemur doesn't kill you, the zookeeper will.
Wow.
That's a lesson I learned the hard way.
I'm sorry about what happened to that guy you were engaged to.
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone.
That was rough. It's really rough.
You know, he died doing what he loved, though, trying to touch a monkey. Cutest card. So every set, I dub a card the cutest card of the set. And it is known throughout the land that this is, in fact, the cutest card. And no one shall...
Christian Siriano.
Christian.
He looks like such a little Muppet.
That's right.
Aw.
Project Runway peeps, are you out there? Raise your hands.
All right.
Anyway, it's known throughout the land of what the cutest card is. And it's regarded as such.
We all wait with bated breath.
This is a tradition that started with Golgari Longlegs and continues to this day. So for cutest card in this set, there were some contenders and it was not easy. We had some real cute dudes, but not as many cute dudes as we had last set. But there's four that I'm going
to
say.
Oh, so it was pretty easy to choose.
No, but in the end, I just went with my gut.
I was teasing because he said four times that it wasn't easy.
Did I really?
No, I think it was only twice, but let's just exaggerate.
Okay, sure. So runner up number four. Is Summit Prowler. Summit Prowler. He looks like a weird yeti with long arms. Summit Prowler.
Yep, that's just true.
Also another runner-up, Alpine Grizzly. He's a 4/2. What kind of bear is a 4/2? Ugh. Cons is screwing everything up.
He's heavy on top.
Ugh. Well, I can relate. Alpine Grizzly.
I'm reading 127 Hours right now.
Yeah.
Which is that book about the guy who had to cut his own arm off.
Why are you reading that?
A friend told me it was good.
Well, seems like a bad idea.
It's really intense, you guys. But he would just told a story of like when he first graduated college and he went out hiking, and he was going on like a wilderness tour and it was still pretty cold up in the mountains. And he got stalked by a bear that had just stopped hibernating.
Oh, sick.
And this is a thing that bears, that has actually been recorded, like bears stalking people because of their food packs.
That's creepy.
Bear fucking followed him around.
That's so creepy.
Alpine grizzly.
Runner up number three.
There you go.
The Bridesmaid, but never a bride this year, is Weave Fate. Weave Fate. It's a crazy looking bird. Ooh. Holding the lantern. Pretty cute. That's better known as the four mana divination. Four mana divination, Weave Fate. But I couldn't pass up the card that initially hit me as cutest card and stayed with me to this day.
What is it?
Pearl Lake Ancient.
Of course. He's real cute.
He's a big, weird sea monster with a cute little face.
He's got no arms and he's got no legs.
I thought you were going to say race.
That would have been way better because it rhymed and made no sense.
He's a mythic rare, so you're not going to see him all that often. But you will see Weave Fate, so...
Aw, look at his cute little face.
Isn't he adorable? He's like, he's really so adorable. Big, he just looks cute and wise.
Yeah,
he looks like really a wizened does. Little Loch Ness monster.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, wait, why is this guy mythic? And I'm kind of also like, why is this guy mythic? But whatever. He's cute.
I don't know.
Cutest card, Pearl Lake Ancient. Accept your throne. So, Megan, it's now your turn.
This leads us to the cards that make us most shudder or yell, oh, what? Why?
Yeah.
I would like to first give two notices to the most, just like, cards with fucked up art.
Yeah, there's nasty like some, art there's in like this some set.
Fucked up shit going on in this art.
For sure.
The first is Dead Drop.
Oh, man.
It's dropping.
It costs 10, no less.
I know. But it's dropping people into an alligator pit.
And you gotta sacrifice two dudes into a crocodile pit.
Yeah, it's dropping. It's just like, it's a picture of two people being dropped into an alligator pit.
Sick.
Fucked up.
That's sick.
Fucked up. The other fucked up art card is Set Adrift. 5 and a blue sorcery. That's the Delve.
Oh, yeah.
Put a non-land permanent on top of its owner's library. There's just, like, some weird, like, just, like, whatever the beings are in it are, like, weird it's and skeletonly, an but I don't know. And they're, like, pushing some guy that's tied to a raft down a river. Like, yeah, fucked up.
Yeah.
Just, generally speaking, just not, we're not cool with it, you know?
Okay.
What I'm saying? All right. But now onto our nominations for cards that most make us go, oh, what?
Sure.
Swarm of Bloodflies. It comes in third.
That could go my snug as a bug in a rug deck.
It really could.
Except it would,
I wouldn't be snug That's with that right. thing in there. It's like a giant, it's like the face of a giant death mosquito.
Oh, yeah.
That thing has West Nile for sure.
The state bird of Minnesota.
I really hope that you have your malaria shots because...
He's coming for you.
This thing is coming for you. The second runner-up is Empty the Pits.
Ah, Empty the Pits.
Just a bunch of weirdo zombies.
Zombies.
Crawling out of a pit.
With weird, that's like, gross. strange legs.
I don't know what's going on there. Yep, and they have like, they're like weird and there's twisty root things that are all pale and not root colored going on. I don't know. It is bad news. But right. the card that made me yell when I saw it. Maria's here. She can confirm.
Confirmed.
I clicked on this art and was like, what?
It's real weird.
Oh, God. It's super gross, you guys. Even now looking at it, I'm like, this is so fucked up. Karu Bloodsucker.
It's got weird long arms. Its arms are too long.
What's going on with its face?
I don't know.
It has like a jaw beneath its normal mouth that has extra like four narwhal teeth and like a 10-foot long tongue and just hair that needs a wash and a cut.
Have you seen Dutiful Return? How do you feel about a torso chained to a bottom half of a body?
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Walking around.
Oh, yeah, that one's... Yep. Oh, okay, yep, that's pretty gross.
I just noticed that one.
I don't know how... I just... I must have, like, scanned past that.
It also has no arms.
Okay, that definitely gets an honorable mention as okay. nasty ass card.
It's really gross.
Ugh. But anyways, you guys, Carol Bloodsucker. What? Just take a look at it. Wonder what's going on there, because, oh boy.
Gross. Are we right in our cutest cards and worst cards art evaluations? Of course we are. But if you want to disagree and be wrong, you can tweet us at MTAcast. The worst cards of Tons of Kartir.
Karkir.
Karkir.
If we're going to mispronounce this, I can't even mispronounce it correctly.
So every set, we like to tell you what the worst cards in the set are, and this set is no different.
That's right. Although this set is a little bit different, because unlike M15, where there was just so much fodder because
they're all
M15
bad.
M15 is the pits and the worst.
Empty the
and
pits,
awful.
Am I right?
This is much better.
Yeah, it is. But you still got to get a couple cards to watch
over. Every once in a while, you got to have a stinker, you know?
So we're going to start off with white. White.
That's why you shouldn't have too many children. One of them's going to be a stinker.
What if you just have one? Doesn't that one then have to be the stinker?
No, because then you've only had one. I think you've like just really limited your chances of that one being
of
a bad
stinker.
Egg.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So what's the number? What's the ideal number over under on
have to,
a bad
I have
egg?
To imagine it's three or less.
Okay. Definitely the fourth child, usually the stinker.
All right, you guys.
So white, I'm going to say...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lots of good cards.
Lots of good cards.
Lots of quality cards.
It was kind of tough. Because I want to say a card like Erase is probably bad, but on the other hand, I think it's a sideboard card.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, what if your opponent has one of those ascendancies?
So Erase is one white mana.
Exile target enchantment.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's actually like pretty, that's pretty damn cheap for that effect.
That's really cheap for that effect.
Exactly.
So, you know. In a vacuum, sure, maybe not so great, but in sideboard, perfectly fine.
I mean,
so,
really excellent in sideboard, really. Do? I want to pay one white mana at instant speed and exile something.
All right. We have Defiant Strike.
Defiant Strike, one white instant. Target creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn. Draw a card.
So I said to Megan, isn't this okay, though? Because pro player Matthias Hunt has been on our show, friend of the show, and said that he would... play a card that said draw a card.
That's true. I will always play a card that says... I mean, it hurts my heart...
to say this?
To be like, this card is not good.
So why do you say that?
Because what is +1/+0 doing? It's not getting first strike.
No.
It's not
really doing
it's
anything.
It's not buffing toughness. So it's like, at the very best, I'm in a scenario where like...
You're in a prowess deck?
What?
You're probably also in a prowess deck, best
yes,
case scenario.
Yes, that's true. That's fair. My opponent, like, we're at a standoff where we both have a bunch of 2/3s, and I attack with the 2/3, and my opponent blocks with the 2/3, and I'm like, gotcha!
Yeah.
This is the one case in which I'm not 2-for-1-ing myself. And I guess it's true, you're not 2-for-1-ing because it says draw a card. I love something that says draw a card, but... That's a corner case where you're going to be really getting like a quality trick.
Yeah,
out of this.
The quality trick nature of this is just not there.
You're asking for so much to be good. It's like, if it has prowess, then yeah, sure, it's good. But you have to have a creature with prowess for this to like do something really great in combat.
You said prowess, like priestess. Prowess.
I sure did.
We also have...
Do you know what? Not terrible, but...
You know,
meh.
I put down Firehoof Cavalry.
Yeah, you said that.
Firehoof Cavalry, which is a 1/1 for one. Mm-hmm. And then for 2 and a red.
3 and a red.
3 and a red. It gets +2/+0 and trample.
I mean, there's going to be some cases where that's, you know, the trample is good and relevant.
Yeah, but look at, this is a 1/1 for one, which is not normally a card you want to play.
That is very true.
And then maybe you have red in your deck as well, in which case you activate this one time and it still dies.
Yeah, it's still a 3/1.
It's just gonna die.
And 3 in a red is a lot of mana.
It is.
It's a lot of mana.
No matter what, it's still only gonna have one on the butt.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Finally.
Yeah, it's pretty meh.
Pretty bad. Meh. Siegecraft, which is an enchantment, gives +2/+4 for 4 mana.
That's right. You know, I just look at this and it's like, what is the one I'm thinking of from M15, Marked by Honor?
Marked by Honor.
Yeah, and that at least, like, that gives +2/+2 and Vigilance.
This would be way better with vigilance.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I wish that this said, I wish you would take two toughness off of it and give it vigilance. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
I think what this wants to do, though, is to provide, you know, because, what is it, Abzan that likes to be all blocky and everything?
Yeah, that's true. And it is, or just like anything. I mean, there's so many big creatures in the format.
Lots of big creatures.
That are, you know, like four, that are four power.
Right.
And I guess, like, that does make a difference. So I'm not saying that this is a terrible card.
Look, we were scraping the bottom of the barrel here. These cards are pretty good.
Exactly. I'm just saying that for, like, three and a white, I think I'm looking for a little bit more than plus two, plus four.
Is that what you said when you broke up with your last boyfriend?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, God. All right, in blue, worst cards, we have Blinding Spray.
Oh, that's right. This is another one where it's, like, such a corner case. I think of, like, Polymorphous Jest.
Right.
Which does more than this, arguably, because it reduces all of the creature's toughness so that they can be killed.
Mm-hmm. Blinding Spray, like, 4 and a blue. Creatures your opponents control get -4/-0 to end of turn. Draw a card. It still has draw a card on it.
It does still say draw a card, but costs 4 and a blue.
Yeah, and like Megan said, you're not reducing toughness, so are you going to kill them? So that means you've got to have a team. Mm-hmm. And they've already got to be pretty, like, you're already got to be at a stalemate, right?
Yeah.
So,
or it has to be, like, I guess if there's, like, a race situation, if you're racing your opponent,
okay,
and you guys are just trading damage back and forth, like, you play this and it's like, yep, okay, now maybe you're winning the race. But again, such a specific situation.
5 mana for that jazz too.
Exactly. And that's a lot of mana. It does say draw a card. But, like, I feel like there's a lot of things I would much rather play.
How do you feel about Singing Bell Strike? I think that's not good.
Singing Bell Strike. I don't remind me what that does.
So this is a little Jeskai card here. Enchant creature. So it's an enchantment. It's an aura. 1 and a blue. Mm-hmm. When Singing Bell Strike enters the battlefield, tap enchanted creature. Enchanted creature does not untap during its controller's untap step. Enchanted creature has 6. Untap this creature.
I think it's fine.
You're locking down a dude. So, okay, question. This is only going to matter when they have a big fat dude on the board that you don't want to untap, right?
I mean, that's good.
Okay.
I mean, it could also be...
But...
Okay, go ahead.
That is at the point of the game when they probably have 6 mana to untap it.
That's true. I mean, you are preventing it from attacking again.
Yes.
I agree.
Until you pay 6. So, like, it's gonna happen. At some point, they're going to untap it.
That's true. I mean, in no way, it's not like an unconditional removal spell by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
I do think, like, it's better than Oppressive Raise. An Oppressive Raise was still playable.
Yeah.
You know?
You think it's better than Oppressive Raise? I don't know, man. Because you always had to pay 3 every time.
That's true. But, I mean, 3 is a lot less than 6.
I guess, yeah, you gotta pay 6 to and 6 every time to untap it.
I'm not saying it's great. It's definitely not great.
Okay.
I don't think it's terrible. I don't think I'm not sure I'd be excited. But, at the same time, if they paid a lot of mana to plop down a big dude...
It's annoying, I'm sure.
It's annoying.
It's annoying.
It's definitely aggravating.
Well, a card that's bad... Obviously, is a card like Stubborn Denial.
Stubborn Denial. Tell me about it.
1 blue. Counter target non-creature spell unless its controller pays a measly 1.
Oh, man. You remember how many Stymied Hopes 1. We used to play?
0.
Oh, that's right.
But wait, it is ferocious.
I definitely played some Stymied Hopes back.
If you control a creature with power 4 or greater, counter that spell instead. So if you have Ferocious and you can reliably count on yourself having Ferocious... sure. I guess go ahead. But
that is not
risky.
I don't think.
Because a 1 mana counter spell is pretty sweet.
Yes,
as we all know.
That is true.
In the early game, it's going to do absolutely nothing for you. I don't know. I guess I'm curious to see if this ends up being good.
Yes.
I mean, if you can reliably have Ferocious enough.
Yep. Or you can get your opponent to foolishly tap out for things. I don't know.
On to black.
It seems pretty. It's pretty, eh.
Despise. Right. Despise.
Ooh, what does this do?
So Despise is 1 black mana. So that's cheap as shit, right?
Yeah.
That's the cheapest you could ever hope for. And what it does is it takes a card out of your opponent's hand.
A creature or planeswalker.
Yeah.
What? And, you don't like that?
No.
I'm gonna play this.
You are?
Yeah, man.
It's a card for a card.
I'm not saying that I'm gonna play it a ton.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I'm gonna play it, like, you know, every single time I have the opportunity to, but there's definitely gonna be multiple times when I play this card.
All right, Megan. Me and Megan, deathmatch. Is Despise good? We'll find out.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's great.
You're saying you're gonna play it.
I don't think this is a bad card.
Next up, we have Empty the Pits.
Oh God, this is a bad card. This is a bad mythic rare.
Mythic rare. Oh God, Megan, read this. It's ridiculous.
XX black 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 black. Let's just get around that for a second. Delve.
It is delve.
Oh yay, delve. Except it's XX. Gross.
Yeah.
Put X. 2/2 black zombie creature tokens onto the battlefield tapped.
Not worth it. How many cards would you have to delve for this to be good?
Okay, well, let's see.
I mean, what would X have to be for this to be good?
Start talking about something while I'm doing math in my head.
All right.
Talk about our next bad card.
Okay, our next bad card that I've figured out is this card, Rishaka's Secret, which we know this card. It's a mind rot. 2 and a black. Target opponent discards 2 cards. Put the top 2 cards of your library in your graveyard. So it helps with delve. Sorcery speed. I don't know. Seems slowish. I guess if you've got a super, super delve strategy going on, go ahead. But mind rot, I'm usually not a huge fan of. Also, bad in black. Bad in black!
Here comes the bad in black.
Raider Spoils. 3 and a black and it's enchantment. Creatures you control get +1/+0. Whenever a warrior you control deals combat damage, you may pay 1 life. If you do, draw a card.
I like that second half a lot.
Combat damage to a player, I should have said, because that's what it says.
That's so tempting.
So, like, you gotta have some warriors. You gotta have a lot of warriors. And you gotta do combat damage to a player. And then you gotta pay 1 life. And then you can draw a card. And it's 4 mana. I don't know. Seems awfully conditional to me.
I think the answer for Empty the Pits is 10. When X equals 10. This card is okay.
Okay, sure. Sure. And with triplicate spirits, we only got 3 1/1s.
Oh, God. It's just so...
Megan wasn't a fan of Karu Bloodsucker, the art, but she's also not a fan of the card, just... Wait, as a card.
Let's see. Carol Bloodsucker?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I just feel like, you know, Bloodhost wasn't very good in M15. And to be fair, seems to be a very different format from what Cons is going to shape up to be.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tons is going to shape up to be.
Thank you.
And, I mean, maybe we'll see. Maybe this will be good. But I feel like it might suffer from the same thing where it's like, it's kind of slow and, you know...
Just doesn't do enough fast enough.
Exactly. It just doesn't do enough.
On to red. Barrage of Boulders. 2 and a red. Barrage of Boulders deals 1 damage to each creature you don't control. Ferocious. If you control a creature with power 4 or greater, creatures can't block this turn. So this is a finisher, I suppose, for Temur.
Yeah.
But if that's not going to... I mean, 1 damage in this set, I don't think does anything.
I mean, there's some things that it kills.
What has 1 toughness?
Warm Name Aspirant.
Okay, name one other.
That one in a blue, like, weird elk thingy.
Oh, yeah, the 2/1.
Yeah, he's kind of cute.
All right, so it kills 2 things, we've figured out.
Yeah, I mean, it does kill some stuff, but it's for 3 mana, it's like,
is not a card unless you have Ferocious. Like,
exactly, we didn't play Scouring Sands.
No.
That cast 1 in a red and I got to scry.
Yeah, no,
Generally speaking, smaller creatures that you could target with that. You know, you'd pull it out when your opponent was playing a bunch of Swift Claws or something.
Megan, how do you feel about Goblin Slide? Sounds like a fun party game. Sounds like a slip and slide with goblins.
Oh my god, do you guys want to come over? I bought Goblin Slide. We can play.
Oh my god, put out the water sprinkler. We want to go on your Goblin Slide and then have a gist box. 2 and a red enchantment. Mm. When you cast a non-creature spell... some prowess bullshit. You may pay one. It's not prowess, though, but it sounds like it. If you do, put a 1/1 red goblin onto the battlefield with haste.
You know,
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
It doesn't seem entirely worth it.
Goblin slide. Your little goblin guy is sort of cute, but give me a break.
Exactly. Well, I also think about, like, in my draft decks, how many non-creature spells do I have? If I have 23 spells, at the very most, I'm going to have 10 non-creature spells.
Sure.
And that is really pushing it. You know, that has me at 13 creatures.
And you've always got to pay one.
Exactly. And you have to pay one. And it's like,
pay three for this bullshit.
Exactly. And it's just, it's a 1/1. So if I draw all 10, and I mean, Goblin Slide is taking up one of those non-creature spots. So that's 9.
Yeah.
So that's 9 of them. And I have to have mana available when I'm casting it.
Sick.
And I'm just getting a 1/1 goblin. I mean, maybe there's a deck for this guy, but I'm not
there's
super
nothing
excited.
That even cares about goblins, is there?
Goblins. There's nothing that cares about goblins.
I don't remember
nobody
seeing anything.
Nobody cares about goblins these days, do they? They really need a
they yeah.
Really need
they
a
need
union.
A lawyer. A good lawyer union.
A union. A goblin union.
Tormenting voice.
I mean,
one
there are some things that really that pay off if you have you know, a lot of creatures.
Sure.
You know, like Trumpet Blast, attacking creatures get +2/+0 until end of turn.
Okay.
It's like, okay, if you have a ton of goblins, like that can do some real damage.
This is a card I wanted to just have a brief convo about. Tormenting Voice, 1 in red.
Tell me about it.
Sorcery. As an additional cost to cast this, discard a card, draw 2 cards.
Sure, I play it.
So initially I was like, hey, that could be good, right? You get to pay 2 to draw 2, and you're doing a loot, or a rummage rather, and sure, that could be okay. But as I was talking about it, it was kind of like, I am spending 2 cards to get 2 cards. So I am up 0 cards from this card. And when I thought about
That's
it
true.
Like that, I was like, maybe it's not so great. I don't know.
I think that it is.
Maybe in a fast deck to get your lands out of the way?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it does allow you to discard something that's not valuable in hopes of finding something more valuable. It helps you, as they say, like, get deeper into your deck, right? Like, trying to find spells. So the ideal situation is where you are, you get to discard a land, obviously.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would I rather have, like, a Sign in Blood? Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Or a Read the Bones? Yes. Or just a Divination? Always. But, do you know what? In red, you don't get to be super picky about your card draw.
Yeah, I guess
not.
You
get what you get and you'll be damn happy with it, all right? Or you cannot use it.
All right, Mom. I'll wear my hand-me-downs.
Oh, I'm just so tired of hearing you complain about your card draw. You chose to be red, okay?
No, I know.
Live with it.
I just want to be like the blue kids. I just want to draw a card.
You'll never be like the blue kids, honey. I'm a bad mom.
Howl of the Horde, you don't like.
Howl of
the
Horde. I think in Constructed, it probably has some real implications that could be pretty cool. In Constructed, that's what I said, right? Yeah. And Limited, I feel like, again, you have to have both this.
Let's read it.
And another, go ahead. 2 in a red, sorcery.
When you cast your next instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. If you attacked with a creature this turn, this is Raid. If you attack with a creature this turn, when you cast your next instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. An additional time, you may choose new targets for the copy. That's 3 of 3 for one
That's
card.
That's true. But, I mean, in Limited, you have to have, again, out of 9, at the most, 9 other non-creature spells.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have ones that are worth copying, that are worth spending this mana to copy. You have to have them in your hand at the same time as Howl of the Horde.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think in Limited, it seems just, like, a little bit too much of a corner case.
Notice there's no Lightning Strike or anything in this set.
Oh.
So, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, that would be 5 mana to cast 3 Lightning Strikes.
I'll have to say, if I had 6 mana, Raid, and Howl of the Horde, and Arc Lightning,
yeah,
that'd be pretty sweet. That'd be pretty good.
We can all dream. Magical Christmas Land exists somewhere. In green, there was no shortage of bad cards. I think green easily had the worst cards.
That's true. There's some pretty meh stuff in here.
Obviously, we've got Feed the Clan.
Yes. Oh, yep. Everybody loves to hate the life gain spell.
And that's what we're doing right now.
One in a green, you gain 5 life. And this is the measliest number that they've ever put on this.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Ferocious. I guess if you have ferocious, you gain 10.
Well, whatever. Are you still playing this?
No, I'm still not. No. Never. No. Don't play it, guys. Not gonna happen. No one likes it.
Hardened Scales is 1 green for an enchantment. It's a rare. If 1 or more +1/+1 counters would be placed on a creature you control, that many +1/+1 counters are placed on it instead. I can't say that sentence.
I know. Wait. I love this sentence so much. It's the worst. Oh, the worst sentence that someone ever wrote for a card. If 1 or more +1/+1 counters would be placed on a creature you control, that many +1/+1 counters are placed on it instead.
No. No.
I guess if you have a dedicated Outlast deck.
It's real cheap. It's only 1.
Exactly. It's not like the worst thing that ever happened, but you have to have like... You have to have, like, 8 Outlast creatures.
I think that could happen.
8 Outlast creatures?
Hey, it could happen.
It could happen. Sure.
I mean...
I think, like, 8 is my magic number for if I'm going to play this card.
I thought it was 10. Oh, okay. Kintree Warden.
Oh, what does that guy do?
So, this guy is another one of me, Maria, hating on 1 drops because he's 1 green. He's a 1/1. Who cares? Okay. 2, regenerate Kintree Warden. But here's the best part. He has morph for 1 green.
Wait, maybe. Okay, I'm not saying that I'm gonna play this.
Tell me how is this usable?
I'm just. What if I have some sweet fucking morph cards in my deck?
Yeah, and you want to fake them out,
and I want to fake out my opponent and get them to target this dude.
I guess as a strategy.
I think that sounds like a bad idea.
You're not going to make your deck worse just to trick your opponent.
I mean, no one played Asphodel Wanderer.
No. No.
And this is, you know, basically
the morph is hilarious. Like, I really hope somebody morphs this against me. And I'm like, oh, I'm too scared to block. And then they morph and they're like, haha.
Haha, gotcha. It's a 1/1. Great. Great. Although I do have to say, with as we mentioned, all of the giant creatures running around.
Regenerate is not a thing, maybe.
If they don't have trample. Like, you sure lets you not chump block.
So, Roar of the Challenge.
Not saying it's good. Just
yeah.
Trying to play devil's advocate. Tell me what's their next one.
Roar of the Challenge, 2 and a green.
Oh, God.
All creatures able to block target creature this turn do so. The creature, it has ferocious. That creature gains indestructible until end of turn if you control a creature with power 4 or greater. So this is like a lure.
Yeah. That seems... If you have ferocious, okay, fine. But, like, if you don't have ferocious...
I don't know.
I'm pretty...
Because we did enjoy Opaline Unicorn.
Wait. Noble Quarry.
No, not Noble Quarry. God. It was also a unicorn.
That's true, but Noble Quarry you could bestow.
So you could do it twice.
You could get 2 uses out of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I would play Noble Quarry if I could only do it 1 time.
Exactly. I mean, it was... Like, that card, I feel like, becomes substantially
And you still had
worse.
A 1/1. I mean...
Exactly.
Anyway, I don't think it's super great.
No.
See the Unwritten is also a mythic. What do you think of this card, Megan?
Where did it go? Oh, 4 green. I mean, 7 mana. Shit. Reveal
That's 6. The...
What?
That's 6, not 7.
Basic
Megan,
math.
Where have you gone?
Reveal the top 8 cards of your library. You may put a creature card from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest into your graveyard. Ferocious. If you control a creature with power 4 or greater, you may put 2 creature cards onto the battlefield instead of 1. I don't know. I want to give this card a spin before I say anything.
So my
I
thought...
I feel like... I don't know.
My thought is, for 6 mana, I already want to be casting my creature for that. My best creature.
That is true. But what if it's 8 cards down?
And what if I have Ferocious and I can put 2 out? I think that maybe it's okay then for Ferocious for 2.
Yeah.
But for 1, I'd just rather cast my... creature than try and find
it.
What if
it's 8 cards down?
And then also then I play Treasure Cruise and then or whatever.
Oh, you Treasure Cruise off the sucker?
Yeah, because nice. Of my sweet delve action.
Oh, all right.
Hey, it could happen,
talking,
you guys.
Now you're talking.
But even defeating green in worst cards is colorless.
Oh, Maria, what have we got in colorless?
Colorless is just the absolute worst this time around, you guys. Oh. All right, ready? Altar of the Brood. Altar of the Brood.
One. It only costs one. How bad can it be?
Right. Yeah.
Whenever another permanent enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent puts the top card of his or her library into his or her graveyard. It's like the slowest mill ever.
Have you ever had like Chinese water torture?
Put one into your graveyard.
Drip.
Put one into your graveyard. Is this making any difference yet? Is it making any difference yet? Is it making any difference yet?
Is this okay with Delve? Probably still not.
No, because it's your opponent. You can't Delve your opponent's shit.
Oh, okay. This sucks. All right. Cranial Archive. Sweetest art of the set, by the way.
That's true.
This art is amazing.
Pretty baller.
But this card, not amazing. It's got a weird skeleton guy with a weird thing in its brain.
Yeah, that's true.
Megan, read this crap.
It's real good. Cost two. Two, Exile Cranial Archive. Target player shuffles his or her graveyard into his or her library. Draw a card.
I mean,
I guess you're trying to combat Delve?
Yeah, if you side this in against Delve, that's the idea.
Or so that you don't mill yourself. That still seems like the dumbest thing ever. You still wasted a card on it?
Dumb.
That seems pretty... Seem pretty bad.
I also think Heart Piercer Bow is not good.
Whenever equipped creature attacks, Heart Piercer Bow deals one damage to target defending player, to target creature defending player controls. I mean, it's basically like giving plus one to your creature, except only if it's attacking and it's being blocked. I mean, I guess if your opponent has some one toughness things,
But as we've previously stated, there's not a whole lot of X1s in this set.
That's true. I think it's pretty...
So there you go.
Briber's Purse.
Briber's Purse.
X. Briber's Purse enters the battlefield with X gem counters on it. One and tap. Remove a gem counter from Briber's Purse. Target creature can't attack or block this turn.
Mm.
I mean, I'll be interested to see how it goes.
I don't think so.
We'll see.
Nobody's playing
that.
Lens of Clarity, how do you feel about that?
I don't know.
It lets you look at face-down cards.
Face-down creatures you don't control.
Yeah.
Well, let me look at the face-down creatures I do control.
You can look at those at any time. You don't need this card to do it.
Oh. I feel like... I mean, the part of me that's nervous about playing with Morph... like wants this card, but then there's the reasonable part of me that's like, you're paying, you only get 40 cards, Megan. Don't do it. But what if you have a bunch of kill spells and your opponent has like 12 morph creatures and you want to know which kill spell? I don't know, Maria. I don't know. What do you think?
Okay. I played some dual decks the other day.
Okay.
Speed versus Cunning. Oh. I played Speed, obvi. And those morph creatures are fucking scary.
Yeah, they are. They're scary as shit.
I mean, maybe as I play more, I'll become less scared.
Yeah.
Because I'll be like, well, it's probably this, or I can make an educated guess that it might be this or this or this.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had no clue what they were.
Yeah.
And it just was terrifying. Now, in those dual decks, I should say that first of all, as we previously said on the show, it still remains true. If you block a morph with a morph and your opponent has less than 5 mana available, those creatures will trade. At least.
Yeah.
So that is true. And in the dual decks, that is not the case. So, gotcha. At least I don't think so. Anyway, so there's that to help assuage the fear. But I'm not putting this in my deck because my 40 cards are precious. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's true. I know what you're saying, Maria.
Anyway, yeah.
I know what you're saying. All right. You know, I wasn't listening when you said what the worst black cards are. I hope I just agree.
Sure.
If someone comes back and says that we're super wrong about the black cards that are the worst, I'm gonna shake my finger.
Ugin's Nexus also sucks, and that's another mythic rare.
5 for a legendary artifact.
Yeah.
If a player would begin an extra turn, that player skips that turn instead, so no one else gets extra turns. If Ugin's Nexus...
Ugin's...
would be put into a graveyard from the battlefield, instead exile it and take an extra turn after this one. I mean, I would play this in a naturalize.
Uggins Nexus.
I'm kidding. I wouldn't. That's Uggins. A lot of mana and two cards for an extra turn.
Okay,
turns are good.
I have a question for you.
Tell me about it.
Gold card. Now, all these gold cards are very good, but I have a question if this one is.
Okay.
Master of the Way. 3, blue, red, draw a card. Master of the Way deals damage to target creature or player equal to the number of cards in your hand.
I'm skeptical because it's 5 mana.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have that many cards.
How many cards do I have? Maybe. I mean, I did just draw a card.
3 tops.
3. Hopefully 3. If I have more than 3.
Then I guess that's worth it. 5 mana.
Exactly. But then how much of a board presence do I have?
Yeah.
I haven't cast a lot anymore. Of things. That's worrisome.
Anyway, those are our worst cards.
Yeah.
There you go, kids.
Ugh.
Don't play these at the pre-release. If you're caught with one of these cards in your hand, your mom is going to come on in and ground you.
That's right.
It's
all similar moms are on alert for pre-release weekend.
Remember when she found you with that titty mag in your room? It's going to be the same feeling.
Oh.
Do you remember that, Megan?
I do remember that. Except it wasn't a magazine.
What was it?
It was... I was going to try and make up something, but I can't think of anything that would be like...
The thunder from down under was in your teenage bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. My mom caught me in my bedroom with... This lie is not working out for me. For some reason, my brain is just like fizzling on this one.
That's fine.
With a picture of young Robert Redford.
Okay, sure. Euphemism of the week. This week we've got tons of cons euphemisms for you, and we're gonna do it rapid style like I did with M15.
Oh, good.
So we're just gonna list off some euphemisms. Kids, cover your ears. Don't know why you're listening to this fucking show in the first place. All right, here we go.
All right.
Trail of mystery, obviously. Treasure trail. Didn't even have to try. Pearl Lake Ancient, old clitoris. Brave the Sands, fuck a dry vagina. Kill shot. It's a money shot that a shot out so hard it kills somebody. Master of Pearls. Great at giving a pearl necklace. Timely horde mate. When your bro taps you out during an orgy so you can catch your breath. Barrage of boulders. Smacked around by a room full of boobs. Become immense. Seriously, wizards? I don't even have to try. Empty the pits. Is birth. Heir of the wilds. Mom and daughter both have big bush. Watcher of the roost. Overprotective dad of hot twins. Utter end. When you yell climax, when you climax because you uttered it. Deflecting palm. When you try and give an HJ but keep getting slapped away. Disdainful stroke. A mad HJ. Molting snakeskin. A condom that accidentally falls off. Ride down. When a lady is riding someone while simultaneously going down on them. Okay.
Hold on.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't do the lands because they're so obvious. Every single one of the land names is a euphemism. For example, Scoured Barrens is a Brazilian after a good shower. And Dismal Backwater is awful butt sex. So I'm not even going to go into it because I don't even have to try with the dual lands.
I mean, come on. Where's the challenge there?
No challenge.
Where is the challenge?
Oh, that took a lot out of me.
Oh.
Like a good kill shot. Everybody, that's our show.
Mm-hmm.
This week, if you remember last episode, Megan went on a rage-filled rant and then took a rage nap as she talked about M15.
Yeah.
And she actually wrote an article about it.
Specifically MTGO. I was talking about Magic Online.
Right. Sorry.
Really god-awful experience I had there.
So Megan has
putting down
her mads in a letter the way Megan does it. And if you want to read her MTGO rage naps, go to the meadery, meadry.org.
meadery.
Whatever.
.org. What's wrong? Oh, wait, Maria, God. Before we go, I have a quick question for you.
What?
Which wedge are you gonna, which ton are you gonna play at the pre-release?
Oh, does everybody already knows? I'm gonna do Mardu.
Of course you are.
Zergo Hellsmasher's my bro.
Yeah, he seems right up your alley. He seems like your kind of guy.
Yeah, that flying demon as well with like freaking haste and 5/4 lifelink. I mean, Butcher of the Horde is so good.
Yeah, oh god, he's pretty scary.
Anyway, what are you doing?
I can't decide. I've been considering pretty much everything except Mardu.
Oh, whatever.
As I do. I mean, I really like Abzan, a lot of the cards. I like me some black and white removal, and I like me some big green creatures.
Yeah, I think that could be a very good clan.
Oh, I mean, at the same time, I like Temur. I like, you know, I get some red burn, and I get some big green creatures, and I get some blue card draw. Oh.
Tune in next week to find out what Megan decided.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have some live bits from the pre-release, hopefully, and we're going to talk to Judge Rob and give you your rules primer for Cons of Tarkir. Tons of Karkir.
Tons of Karkir.
That's right.
All right, guys. Well, happy pre-releasing.
Happy pre-releasing. Don't release early. Remember, the ladies like it if it's not too early.
That's right. Besides, you're not allowed to release before midnight in this case. So keep it in your pants until then, everybody.
Sayonara!